Sigler Ministries, sharing the good news. Gary teaches practical lifestyles, with his main thrust being to reveal the Father heart of God toward humanity. May God richly bless you in your quest for a true spiritual life.
How could anyone
And now, here's Gary.
I'm going to start a series today on the Gospel of John. John has always been one of my favorite books of the Bible because it speaks so much of the life that Jesus came to give us. I'd like to begin by saying that we are all on a unique path back to the Father. Not all of us see things the same way. All of us are progressing in our understanding and will continue to do so until we come into the fullness of all that God has for us. I see and understand many things today that several years ago I would have rejected. But thank God we are not stuck in a religious mindset. Those who are stuck in a religious mindset cannot advance beyond where they are. But today, such as never before, God is opening the eyes of the blind, and we're beginning to see and understand things that are so magnificent that it fills us with anticipation of things to come. So let's begin in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Notice that this verse does not say in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Now, that's what I believed for many years, but that's not what this verse says. This verse says in the beginning was the Word. If we properly understand Jesus, then we will also understand ourselves. But until we have a proper understanding of Jesus, I don't believe we can really know ourselves. Jesus was called the Word of God because he was the Word made flesh. The human side of Jesus began at his birth. A child was birthed by Mary, but a son was given by God. There are many doctrines about Jesus. In fact, in the early church, there were many divisions over the doctrines about Jesus. Some say he was God, some say he was just a man. Others say he was God and man. The important thing to realize about the man Jesus is that his birth and your birth are exactly the same. When our eyes are unveiled to see this truth, that the birth of Jesus and your birth are exactly the same. Your mother bore a child, but a son was given from the realms of glory. The only difference between Jesus and us is the fact that he knew and understood and operated in the truth of his being. He knew he was Christ manifested in the flesh. Jesus was the invisible God made visible. We can look at Jesus and see a manifestation of our Father. This was the purpose, the main purpose for Jesus being manifested to the world, so that we could look at him and realize that in the deepest recesses of our being, we are as he is. In fact, the New Testament tells us that as he is, so are we in this world. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of God's people could see the reality of that truth, that as he is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. We have been steeped in so much religious teaching and so much religious thought that it has been impossible for us to see the truth of our being because we were always trying to compare ourselves to Jesus. And when we compare ourselves to Jesus, we do that most of us by looking at our carnal nature and comparing that with Jesus. Thank God that in these days our eyes are being unveiled to the truth, to the reality of our being. Our eyes are being unveiled to see that the same life, the same nature, the same abilities, the same compassion, the same love is now beginning to be revealed in His people on the earth. There is such a shaking, such an awakening taking place, and people are beginning to realize the unconditional love of God for His creation. And we're beginning to see people as they are, not as they appear. Hallelujah. Before Jesus came, no one truly manifested the fullness or the reality of God. Before Jesus came, no one truly knew or understood God. But here came Jesus, the invisible God made visible in human form. You could touch Him. You could feel Him. You could sense the mighty anointing. If you were depressed, He could lift you up. If you were sick, you could be healed. Just to gaze upon Him, you felt such a drawing, and many left everything and began to follow Him because they sensed that in this man is what we need. In this man, we can find the desires of our heart being fulfilled in a search to know God. In this man, we can understand God. In this man, we can see the love that God has for us. He was the Word of God revealed in a man. In the flesh, Jesus made God so real to us, we could look at Jesus and understand God. In getting to know Jesus, we could understand that God was not angry with us, but that God loved us, and He loved us enough to come to us in human form, the Word made flesh, so that we could understand how wonderful He really was. Now we can look at Jesus and understand that what is true about Him is also true of us. We are here to be a manifestation of the glory and the magnificence of God. We are here to bring His presence in flesh to a lost and a dying world. We are here to lift humanity above the dust of their human thinking. We are here to provide a message of hope and of love. We are here to let people know that God is not and never was angry with them. We have thought He was, and we've been taught that God was angry. But now we understand our mother bore us as a child, but we came from the Father and are here to be as Jesus was on this earth, to be a manifestation of the glory of God, to reveal God to creation. How many people go to church and worship Jesus sometimes 2, 3, 4 times a week and yet never realize the truth of their being? Most of God's people are always reaching out to Him and crying out to Him and begging Him and pleading with Him and never realizing that the truth of their being is that they are a manifestation of God on this earth. Instead, they are lost in religious activities. They are lost in a religious mind, always learning, but yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that you are a son of God on this earth. The truth is that you came to be as Jesus to the world. Well, today it's not an individual, but it's a corporate son, a corporate man. And this is what the book of Ephesians reveals to us, that we are all growing into a corporate man until we all arrive at the full stature of the Son of God, into a perfect man, that all the world can look at his body on this earth, the corporate body, and realize that God has come in the flesh to redeem all of creation back to himself. John chapter 1 and verse 3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by the word of God. We know that in Genesis chapter 1, God spoke and it was so. God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. We all understand and believe that what God speaks come to pass. What we haven't understood is that we were created in the image of God. God literally imaged himself in a man. How wonderful it will be when we get the full revelation and realization and experience of this. Being created in the image and likeness of God, that what we speak will come to pass. I have said for years that right today, what we have thought about, what we have believed, and what we have spoken has made us what we are today. Right today, we live by the word we speak. Our experience comes out of what we believe and what we speak. If you believe that you are sinful, and you say that you are sinful, that will be your experience. You will live by the word you speak. If you believe you are weak, and you say that you are weak, you will experience being weak. If you believe that you're a failure, if you believe that you cannot overcome, then that will be your experience. However, when we begin to understand the truth of our being is when we begin to call those things that be not as though they are. Life is in the Word. But in the living word, in your word, life and death are in the power of the tongue. If we would begin to speak what we say we believe, we would see our lives change drastically. If we would spend enough time in his presence to have him reveal to us the truth of our being, and then we begin to think like believers and speak like believers, we would soon come alive in the power of his Spirit. The scriptures tell us that the same power that raised Jesus from among the dead now dwells in us. And if that same Spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in us, he will also quicken even our mortal body by that Spirit that is within us. So, if we really spend time in the presence of God, meditating on these scriptures, and have the truth of them revealed to our inner being, then we will begin to change the way we speak. And we will begin to understand, such as never before, the power of our words. We will really begin to experience that life and death are in the power of our tongue. What is it that we really believe? We say a lot of things, but what is it that we believe? Because your belief is not necessarily true. What is truth is what you know. For instance, you may believe that you're weak and that you're, you know, full of sinful habits and not able to live the Christian life. You may believe all those things. And if you really believe them, then that's what you're going to talk about. And it's the power of your belief and the words that you speak that will keep you in that experience. It's your belief, but it's not true. The truth of your being is that you are a son or daughter of God. The truth of your being is that everything that Jesus is, you are. The truth of your being is that you are the Word made flesh. Now, if you can stay in the presence of God long enough to have Him reveal to you the truth of these words, you will begin to have a change in your thought life. And when your thought life changes, when you begin to change your thoughts about being weak and your inability to live godly, when you begin to change your thoughts to be a son of God, to be a victorious, glorious expression of God, and you begin to then speak that, you will find that the power of your words are phenomenal. I've often shared this, so I won't do it again. But my life was drastically changed by what I'm telling you. I went from a weak, miserable failure, not being able to do hardly anything that was godly. I was so in so much bondage, but I spent so much time in the presence of God until I began to have this revelation that God truly was in me. You know, every Christian will say, Jesus lives in me. But yet, see, that's a belief. But is it true? It is true. But do you experience that? And so I spent so much time in the presence of God. And when I began to have revealed to me the wonderful, awesome presence of His life in me. And then I began to speak like a son and act like a son. My life began to change drastically. No longer do I feel the inadequacy and the depression and all of the bondages that I used to be in. But now I just recognize day by day that God is working in me. God is arising in this vessel. And I'm just so thankful for His grace that I don't have to be concerned about the areas in my flesh that I'm still not happy with. But I know that there will come a day, as I've said so many times before, there will come a day when I will stand in His presence, a fully manifested Son of God. God is raising up a people today who are beginning to realize that they have the power to speak life and healing and blessing to all of creation and see great changes taking place both within them and with those around them. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the living and abiding Word of God. Being born again has become mostly just another doctrine in the church. And being born again as a doctrine really does a great disservice to the people of God. We are told in many places, just come up to an altar, say, Jesus, I receive you. and that makes you born again. And many do that. Many go to an altar, say, Jesus, I receive you, and walk away with very little change in their life. Because it is not what you do, and it is not what you say, that causes you to be born again. You are born again by the Word of God. Those that are truly born again, they have heard the Word of God. When we are born again, there is another life that is quickened deep within our being. Perhaps even after being a Christian for many years, some really hear the Word of God and are quickened. And they find that there's another life that springs up within their being. And no longer are they comfortable living the way they used to live. That there is a cry deep within their spirit for righteousness and holiness. There is a deep longing to be like Christ and to have this new life, this new desire within, to become strengthened and to overtake their carnal nature. They begin to experience Romans chapter 7, where Paul says that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I desire God in my inward being, but every time I try to do good, I find that evil is present with me. So there starts a struggle with those who are born again, because there's a cry within them to be delivered from the bondage of corruption. And as they learn to just sit in the presence of God and to seek God and to listen for His voice, that there comes a day when that new life within them begins to be strengthened. That new life begins to rise up and to conquer the deeds of the flesh. You remember Paul said, if we through the Spirit put to death the deeds of the flesh, we shall live. So being born again is not just a good doctrine. Being born again is an experience that everyone who names the name of Christ should experience. There is a brand new life that is born within us. And that life is holy, it's righteous, it's glorious. And rather than try to make our carnal selves righteous by the deeds of the law, we need to realize that we are so righteous. And we are righteous because we've been made righteous. We are righteous because we are a son of God. We have always been a son of God. We have never been lost except in our darkened mind and understanding. Zechariah 12:1 says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, which stretched forth the heavens, he lays the foundation of the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. A child was formed in your mother's womb, but your spirit came from God. We are born in this world and raised not knowing the truth of our being until we hear the Word of God and our spirit is quickened and we begin to experience another life. Then we realize that we were meant for something greater than to just be a human, living a human life, being lost to the reality of being a manifestation of God on this earth. God is spirit, and spirit is invisible. In us, God becomes visible and tangible and touchable. Oh, if we could just have the reality of this. Then, when we have the reality of being a son of God on the earth, instead of doing anything or trying anything, we just be who we are. And just by being who you are, people around you can just observe you and they can see that there's something desirable about your being. There's something that is different about you. They'll sense the compassion and the love and the patience. And it will be such an attraction. And sometimes without you saying a word, those around you will have a life-changing experience. Have you ever considered the thought that we are the expansion of God on this earth? Think about that. This is why we need to spend time in quietness and in meditation so that God can begin to speak to you and begin to reveal to you the truth of your being. That as you are expanding in consciousness, that God is expanding Himself in consciousness. God desires, I've said this for so many years, God desires to be human. God desires to live in this physical world, in these temples that we are. God desires the experiences of this physical world. Why do you think it was created if that is not so? Yet so many Christians say they're just waiting to die and go to heaven. And all the time they're missing the most glorious, the most wonderful life just by being a manifestation of God on this earth. There's no greater joy in all the earth than to have this life begin to overtake the works of the flesh. No greater joy than to no longer have that pull of the flesh that would drag you down into the law of sin and death. But you can stand as the Apostle Paul, and you can say that Christ in me is the hope of glory. You can say, it is no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives within me. And we begin to experience all the wonderful experiences of having that life manifest within our being. So I would encourage you to begin to speak life instead of death. The scriptures say, let the weak say, I am strong. Why do you suppose that the scripture talks so much about the tongue and the power of the tongue? Because it is the rudder of your life. E.W. Kenyon said many years ago that a thought unspoken dies unborn. There are many, many thoughts that come to us. But we need to learn to let them just flow through. You can't necessarily stop those thoughts, but you do not have to dwell on them. Begin to dwell on the positive aspects of your being. Don't look at the negativity. God doesn't. God sees you as He sees Jesus. He looks at you as His Son on this earth. And all the negative things in your life, all the habits that you have not yet overcome, just know that as you spend time in His presence, as you spend time meditating upon the good things, meditate upon the positive things. All of us have good, positive things in our life. We all have some good things that we can, you know, think about and dwell upon instead of all the negativity. Begin to think positive. I know there's been a lot of talk over the years about the power of positive thinking, like it's something bad. But I'll tell you, it's much better to think positive than to think negative. Just thinking something won't necessarily make it come to pass. And just speaking something won't necessarily make it come to pass. But the more you dwell on the positive aspects, And the more you sit in the quiet and let God speak to you, He will reveal the truth and the reality of your being. And then you can speak. Whatever God says to you, whatever God speaks to you, you can speak with full authority, knowing the power that's in the spoken word. Our lives change so drastically when we begin to experience, even in a small way, the power of the spoken word. Carol and I have seen many miraculous things and many wonderful experiences take place in our lives by hearing God speak and then just doing what we hear. Even though in the natural, things seem impossible. No way it could be done. But if you know God has spoken, if you hear God say it, you know it is done. So let us all be more diligent in focusing on the positive things. Let us be more diligent in seeking God in our daily lives, knowing that as we seek Him, He will definitely come alive and overtake every area in our lives that's not according to His will and His purpose. Hallelujah.
This concludes this message. For additional copies or more information, write Gary and Carol Sigler, 135 Chinquapin Drive, Brunswick, Georgia, 31523. Phone 912-275-8585 or email gary@sigler.org. All messages are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, however, you may distribute them freely.